Our devotional service this afternoon, we've entitled His Unspeakable Gift. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, the Apostle Paul says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." The unspeakable gift from God is the grace and the favor that He bestows upon His people. And as we all know, it's through the sacrifice of Jesus that His grace has been made available to each of us. It was Jesus' willingness to leave the peace and security of His heavenly home and come to the sin-sick and dying world that salvation was brought to mankind. We all know the story of His birth. We've been taught it from when we were children. But as the hymn says, it's a story that never grows old. It's a story that we recount to ourselves over and over again, because in it we see the love of God for the world of mankind. We see His great compassion for our pain and suffering. And in it, we also see a God who would not compromise the principles of righteousness. Our punishment for sin was death, and only an atoning substitute could remove that curse. The satisfaction of justice through the ransom has become the focal point of God's plans. And without its successful completion, hope for life for all of us would have been lost. We'd like to spend the next hour together, brethren, meditating upon that life so freely given for us and offering praise to His name together. In speaking of Mary, the angel of the Lord said to Joseph, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. We'd now like to ask Brother Joe Miguez if he would read a verse entitled "The Promise."
The Lord God said, when the time was full, He would shine His light in the darkness. He said a virgin would conceive and give birth to the promise. For 1,000 years, the dreamers dreamt and hoped to see His love. But the promise showed their wildest dreams had simply not been bold enough. The promise was full of love, and the promise was life. The promise meant light to the world, living proof that Jehovah saves. For the name of the promised seed was Jesus. When the faithful one saw that time was full, the ancient pledge was honored. So God sent His Son, the Holy One. His loving word was sent to be heard. What more could God have given? Tell me, what more did He have to give? The promise was full of love, and the promise was life. The promise meant life to the world. Living proof that Jehovah saves, for the name of the promised seed was Jesus. Jesus. At last, the proof Jehovah saves, for the name of the promised seed was Jesus.
Jesus truly was the revelation of God, not only of God's plans, but of God's own personal character. As we came to understand what God was doing in His dealings with the human race, we began to see tremendous wisdom in what He was doing. How could we have understood that allowing our father Adam to sin would in the end make us all better creatures? How could we have known that through the fall into the pit of sin and death, we would see the full manifestation of God's love through His willingness to sacrifice so much for us to save us from that pit? How else could we have seen that justice was absolutely the foundation of His throne, and that He could never do anything to violate that principle? It was because of God's ability to control the outcome of the fall that He's showing us His awesome power and sovereignty of the universe. It was the miraculous birth of that baby boy which set the wheels in motion for the rebirth of humanity. As the angel said to Joseph, one of the titles of the Messiah would be Emmanuel, which means God is with us. For the church class, that relationship with God began at the first Advent. Through the blood of the Lamb, God is with us. Through the compassionate understanding of our high priest, God is with us. In the daily experiences of life, God is with us. In the sorrows, in the joys, in the pains, and even in the pleasures of life, God is with us. There is no enemy that can conquer us. There is no trial that can overcome us if we keep ourselves under the blood of the Lamb, loyal to His cause. His loyalty to us can never waver because He is Emmanuel. We'd like our choir now to sing a song entitled Emmanuel.
A human baby, Mary, undiminished.
The doctrinal aspects of God's plan are so essential for us to understand. I think we all know that. For they teach us what God is doing and why he's doing it. Along with the doctrines, we see that the human and emotional aspects are important as well. Outwardly, God sent his Son in what appeared to be the usual way that men are born into the world. He chose a gentle mother and a caring father to raise his son. The right arm of the Almighty, the Logos, the instrument of creation, was sent as a child into the very world he helped to create. Undoubtedly, Mary and Joseph couldn't fully understand everything about their unusual son, nor did they fully grasp all that he must endure in his few short years upon this earth. In Luke 2:35, Simeon tells Mary that a sword would pierce through her heart. Mary really didn't know what Simeon meant, but she did understand that being the mother of the Messiah would not be easy. It would be a life filled with many heartaches. And yet, in spite of all the pain and sorrow, she was still blessed above every other woman. In his kindness, God veiled the trials that were to come for Mary. In this way, she was not crushed. And in this way, she could live one day at a time. I'd like to ask Brother George if he would read a poem, If Mary Had Known.
If Mary had known, as she held her babe's hand in her own, little hands that were tender and white as a rose, all dented with dimples from fingers to wrist, such as mothers have kissed, that someday they must feel the fierce blows of a hatred insane, must redden with holy bloodstains. Oh, I think that her sweet face must be blanched with its anguish of knowledge above her embrace. If Mary had known, as she held her babe's hand in her own, what a treasure of gifts to the world they would bring, what a healing and hope to the hearts that must ache, and without him must break. Had she known, they would pluck from death's sting, and close its door forevermore, making free who were captives in sorrow and darkness before. Oh, I think that a gracious sunrise of rapture would break the despair of her eyes. If Mary had known, as she sat with her babe alone, on what errands of mercy his feet would go, how those footsteps would ring through the ears of all time with an echo sublime, that the pathway they trod would guide the world back to its God and lead ever upward away from the grasp of the earthly clod. She would surely forget to be sad and only remember to be most ineffably glad. If Mary had known, as she held him so closely her own, that over the darkness and pain he would be the conqueror, hailed in oncoming days, the world's hope and praise. That the garland of thorn, the symbol of mocking and scorn, would be a victorious diadem royally worn. Oh, I think that ineffable joy must have flooded her soul as she bent over her wonderful, wonderful boy.
speak of chosen one. The deaf will hear, and the dumb will talk, the blind will see, and the lame will walk. The stone that makes men stumble, and a rock that makes them
As the song says, it was because Jesus did not come in the form that men expected of him and wanted that he became to them a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. In a way, it's sad for us when we think that most of the people rejected him. What a privilege laid before the nation of Israel, only to be cast aside as a useless gift. His baptism began a ministry which would revolutionize many things. No longer were Jews to follow the formalities of their religion. The very fulfillment of their temple sacrifices had now come. And with his coming, he would put an end to the typical picture of animal sacrifices. But because of the hardness of their hearts, the Jewish leaders missed the lessons that the law was pointing to. In his ministry, Jesus often made these lessons very clear. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and all thy might, all thy being, and thy neighbor as thyself. In this simple explanation was summed up all that the law and the prophets was all about. When we look back at the mental and physical sufferings which our Lord endured, our hearts truly ache. In our hearts, we would have wanted him to receive the glory he so richly deserved. But according to God's plan, it was not time yet for his exaltation. Jesus was foreordained to die as a lamb led to the slaughter, a sacrificial offering, truly the lamb of the Father's love. We'd now like to call on three of our sisters to sing song entitled Lamb of the Father's Love. When we speak of the ministry of Jesus, where do we begin as we try to appreciate all that he's done for us? His death guaranteed that we would have a resurrection. His consecrated life guaranteed that we would have an advocate before the Father and that the world would have its mediator. As we look at his character, we don't see the bitterness of the Pharisees. We see the gentleness of a loving, caring Father. As we look at his teachings, we don't see the pride of the doctors of the law. We see humility and meekness of a man who was in every sense of the word a king, a man far superior to his peers. As we study his interaction with people, we observe a tenderness that can only come from an inbred love. It was this love that motivated Jesus. He saw the people and their suffering, and he was moved with compassion. He fed them, he healed them, and he loved them. We'd now like to call on Brother Bruno if he would read a poem entitled Christ, All in All.
Christ, all in all. In Christ, all fullness dwells. From him proceeds all that fallen man, poor, wretched, guilty, needs. In him, the contrite, bruised in spirit, find where'er can heal the sorrows of the mind. Forgiving love that saves from blank despair, rich grace that banishes each anxious care. Soft pity that relieves the bursting sigh, and truth revealing joys that never die. Thrice happy they who to his word attend, his favor seek and on his strength depend. 'Tis theirs to know his heart-consoling voice, to share his smile and in his name rejoice. To them reclaimed in mercy from the fall, and heavenward marching, Christ is all in all. In want their treasure, in distress their stay, in gloom their dayspring, vigor in decay. Mid foes their guard, in solitude their guests, in storms their hiding place, in toils their rest, in bonds their freedom, their relief in pain, in life their glory, and in all things gain.
Jesus is truly God's provision for all that we need. He's our hiding place. He's our freedom when we feel captive. He's our strength when we feel weak. He's everything we need him to be as we reach for the heavens as members of God's family. Let's turn to hymn number 361 and sing What a Wonderful Savior We Have.
Thank you.
Now, in our thoughts about Jesus, we dwell so much on his sufferings and death, and rightly so. These form the foundation of God's dealing with us through our justification, that merit applied on our behalf. In addition to this, though, we see that his resurrection showed God's seal of approval on Jesus' life and his death. His resurrection is our proof that the ransom and sin offering were accepted. Knowing this, then, we can come to the Father with a full assurance of faith, knowing that through his atoning work, we too can be acceptable to God. We're told that Mary's heart leapt for joy when the angel of the Lord at the tomb said, "He is not here, he is risen." It was God's love for mankind that crucified Jesus. It was God's deepest, heartfelt love for his Son that raised him to life on the divine plane. Can you imagine the appreciation that God has for Jesus? And how much more he cherishes him now after seeing to what extent Jesus would go in pleasing him. We'd like our choir now to sing a song entitled "Love Crucified Arose." A place of hope for not only Jesus, but for all of us. The poet has said that God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. The ways of God really do seem mysterious to the world. How confusing it seems to many of them when God says he loves us and yet seems to stand by watching us suffer, watching us wither away under this terrible curse. Their legitimate question is, why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't he step in? Why doesn't he get involved? So many of these questions that theologians have been unable to answer have driven people away from God. If God wants to save only a select few, then many people do not want to worship that kind of a God. His method of dealing with mankind has been one of the great mysteries of life. Of all the educated and worldly wise people that God could have revealed his plans to, he chose the foolish ones of the world so that we would not be proud at being selected. The knowledge of what a tremendous privilege we have of knowing his plan and his character should never, never be lost sight of. We surely have a wonderful message of hope. Like Elihu comforting Job, we have the truth of why God is permitting sin. And it is the truth that makes the difference, rather than contrived attempts of the worldly wise. When you read the words of the prophet Isaiah in the 35th chapter, when you know the truth, the words really spring to life, full of meaning and reality. The hope of the kingdom, the resurrection, the true knowledge will someday fill the earth. It's really our dream, isn't it? It's a dream that someday will become reality because God is who he is. Someone once said that the poor man is not the one without a cent, but he who is without a dream. We'd now like a group of our sisters to sing the words of hope, the words of our dream, from Isaiah 35.
Shall usher forth the words of light to all who hear.
never written, because they're more than words. They're promises, and they're promises made by someone who can keep them, and not only someone who can keep them, but someone who will keep them. In the ages to come, as we look back to our earthly existence, without a doubt, we will want to sing praises to Him who brought us up so far from where we began. Where we began, and where you and I will end up, if faithful, will be like opposite ends of the universe. Our sight, while we're still in the flesh, is so limited. But as spirit beings, we will then be able to finally see the full scope of how far God had taken us. We will gladly bow at His throne and worship at His feet. The idea is really too great for us to comprehend now. As we struggle and try to understand all that God has done for us and is doing for us, we can only say, crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Awake, my soul, and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. We would now like our choir to sing that, crown Him with many crowns. Crown Him the Lord of love. Crown Him the Lord of peace, whose kingdom knows no end. Creator of the rolling spheres, whose living waters send. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity. And how much that should be a theme in our lives, the desire to fully praise his name in every possible way, in every aspect of our lives, in every little thing that we do, and in every big thing that we do. Our life should be to praise his name. Let's close this meeting with the use of Appendix W. We'll rise in the last verse, and we'll ask Brother George if he would close our meeting with prayer. Appendix W.
Father, indeed, we come before Thee with adoration for Thee and for the precious gift of Thy Son. We feel so unworthy, Father, that Thou hast called us out of darkness into this wonderful light. Know how we praise Thee for Thy wonderful plan. And we pray, Father, that with each day as we meditate upon it, that it might renew our determination to walk in the footsteps of Thy dear Son. Help us to realize more fully the privilege that is ours of laying down our life, our little all, in glorifying and magnifying Thy name. Continue with us, Father, and with all Thy children as Thou knowest their individual needs. Bless each that are especially going through the more severe trials this day of their life. Help us to be a blessing to them and to one another. We commit ourselves into Thy care, praying in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.